Good morning, Grace Church. Well, our team from Senegal is back this morning, and we're going to hear from them. A lot of the teens are back, also from Chicago, and many of them are here this morning. If you see them, you might want to give them a pat on the back and ask them about their trip. Right now, I'd like to call up the Senegal team, Emma and David and Marty. If you'd come up here, we will get started and find out what they did. They did a lot of painting. They introduced our brothers and sisters in Senegal to the 4th of July, a Muslim country that doesn't know Christ. And how are you guys doing? Any jet lag or you're fine? Okay, you'd like to start with the video?
Yeah, sure.
Sound team? Okay, Marty's the veteran. Do you want to say something?
Well, I just want to say, I just want to say that Emma spent many nights, the plane ride home, and last night getting that video together. So, good for her.
Good, thank you. Well, Marty's the veteran of this group, but we have two first-timers. Years ago, I took a medical missions trip to Honduras, and I've never been the same person since the plane landed in New Jersey. I just haven't been. Emma, I'm very interested in your impressions, and what did it do to your life?
Yeah, this is on. Can you hear me?
But yeah, put it close to your mouth.
Okay, hello. Okay. Yeah, this was really amazing. So, let's see, so we're talking about, like, you know, just the overall experience. There we go. So I think that I kind of expected it to be cool, but not this cool. Like I literally had kids running up to me and like, Emma! And but then what really made a difference was the pastor of their church gave all of us gifts and thanked us, and they said how much the neighborhood is talking about, like the party that we did and the school, and how they're already getting people asking about the school and going to their church. So I think it's just making that much of a difference in a group of Christians like way across the ocean is just really amazing. So that's what I took away from it.
David?
Well, it's hot. It's dusty. It did rain once. which was nice, but that didn't change the temperature. It was still hot. You know, one of the things that struck me was the community. As soon as we landed, everybody was buddy and friend that wanted to help and contribute. And you saw in some of the videos how mealtime is community time. It is a communal dish that you're eating out of. And there are opportunities for you to show how you're a member of that community by knowing your role around that dish, whether it's holding that dish steady while others, because this massive dish of food is balanced on a 5-gallon jar, and someone's got to hold that, and someone's got to split up the food that's in the middle. And then there's just this whole sense of, I know my role, but I'm a part of this community, kind of like we are here at Grace. And to feel like I went from this community to that community was amazing, but to think how ripe that community is for Christ, and to think that we have this opportunity to quite literally be that city on a hill, shining Christ's love to those children. Knowing that, yes, we were in a school building, and it is illegal to proselytize children, but to know that we could show God to them in so many other ways, that we didn't have to be there saying, Jesus, 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 but to know that we could love on them, and to think every one of those drawings, we could write a little message hidden inside of it, and then paint over it, knowing that that message is there from now on, so that Grace has left a mark on these children's lives. And I can't wait to see how this school changes that entire neighborhood.
Okay. Marty, you're the seasoned vet of the group. I also, we talked this morning, I don't know where you get your energy at. I gotta, you gotta give me some pointers.
But the first thing Bob asked me was, so how old are you? How old are you? How do you get your energy, Marty? But then one of the things that stands out for me is in this particular ministry, every single day we were in the community. And every single day we were shoulder to shoulder with either the children in the community or those who were serving the needs of the people in the community. And what was different about that is that it provided an opportunity for us to hear their stories, to hear about their walk with Christ. So we had Spanish, Jala, Wolof, French, and I don't know, and English. So we had to work with all five of those languages. And one of the teachers and I were painting. He spent 45 minutes telling me about his walk with Jesus. You know, it was beautiful. And he said, you know, it takes a lot of time. And his uncle came to the home and for 2 years talked about Jesus in their home. And then he converted, and then he came to the school, and then he began. He built up a loyalty in the school and a trust in the school. And then men came, and they wanted to be discipled by him. And he said to me, Marty, I could have taught in a public school and earned much more money, because he has two children now. And he said, but I have always felt God calling me to do this. So this is where I stay. And I think that's what the difference was with this particular ministry, is that we got to know the people we were working with so deeply, and to see their hand, or God's life in their hand, and their life in our hand. And because we were community to community, church to church, we remember the cars that the little kids gave, and then we wrapped a candy or a cookie around. Yes, Sterling's raising her hand. One of her cars was in the picture. We were able to, they have 20 children in their Sunday school. We were able to give 20 of those cars to the Sunday school, and we were able to tell them that we try to take grace beyond the walls, and at our church, we want to involve everybody. And so the children gave their cars, not a new car, they gave a used car, something of theirs. And so here's something from our church family that we would like to give to your church family, because we're trying to take grace beyond the walls. And the pastor looked at me and he said, you are teaching me so many new things. So their walk with Christ enriches us, and our walk with Christ enriches them. And we don't always have that longevity of sustained discussion with each other to do that on a mission. But this one, it was like visiting family. Yeah.
Okay, why don't you take us through a little bit about what you did there? We all saw a picture. Yeah, go ahead, Emma.
Yeah, so I've been waiting to talk about this like all the time. So we, of course, as you saw it, when you pulled up that building that you look around, you see someone waving out the window. That's Good Seed School. And you go in, and there's the rooms that are already, Kathy, had, these projections that, you basically, had to outline and to color in. But what was neat was that as we were painting, David kind of touched on this before, but they would bring in these big bowls of, beautiful food that we all shared. We sat in the circle. And to kind of touch on a little bit of delving into their culture and being with them shoulder to shoulder, the youngest, which was me, is supposed to hold the bowl while everyone does it. I had no idea. And so they are looking over at me what should we do? What should we say? And finally, it was here, madam, let me show you. So you hold the bowl. And so afterwards, I was I made sure to hold the bowl. And they're so impressed. But what was beautiful was that you start from the outside, you go in, and it makes a star at the end. And what was even more beautiful, though, was this happened not just once, but throughout the week, every single day, they would constantly bring us lunch, which is at 3 o'clock, but, you know, lunch. And we all just, you know, sat around in a circle, English speaking, and somehow we were able to just really fellowship. And I think that was the most beautiful thing about this, is that it's constantly just like us going into their culture. It's like grace literally beyond the walls into their culture and sharing the gospel, not just through words, but through actions and through joy and love and fellowship. And I don't want to take up the whole time.
I was going to say, we had two main objectives, and one of those was painting murals in this new school. They had only had school once the year before, with about 20 or so kids. And as a high school teacher myself, I put a lot of pride and effort into making the environment a welcoming space for students to enjoy being in this learning environment. And prior to us coming, they had concrete gray walls everywhere. That was the school. Think about your basement being the classroom that you got to learn in. And we had the opportunity to come in and make that look like a fun, bright, joyful place to be in. And of course, the second one was our 4th of July party, which for us was the 4th of July party, but for them was like our block party. We invited the entire neighborhood to come and step foot into this new school to invite them to see what it's all about. And we brought games and toys, and Emma orchestrated an incredible opportunity for the children. Thank you all for donating and giving us stuff to play with them. I think the one thing that we talked about a bunch was the soccer ball. We had this bright orange soccer ball that came with us, and we were so excited that the following day on our drive into the village, which was quite bouncy as you saw in the video, about a mile out, there was that bright orange soccer ball being played by a mile out. And to think that whether that was the soccer ball or not, that was the impact we were having. This neighborhood block party had spread out from that one school building with those children and was already impacting the neighborhood far beyond the one building we were in. And I thought that was such a neat thing to see, that visual indication that God was growing the impact of this school.
So the situation that we have here is that we have a very small Christian school that is taught by Christian teachers that includes a Christian curriculum portion, and it's in the middle of a huge area of Muslim kids. So if the parents decide to send their children to that school, which they would want to because the education is much stronger than in the public school, the Muslim children are coming into a Christian environment. The parents know that they're coming into a Christian environment, and they're okay with that. And the people in that school have an opportunity to share Christ.
Okay. I know there's some people sitting in the pews here today who may say, boy, that really sounds great. I'd really love to do that someday. I'm curious, what is it that nudged you guys out of the pew and onto the mission field? Was it anything specific?
My sister. Okay. I've been wanting to do this forever since I first heard about it. And I was like, oh, I'll do it next year. I'm in school. I can't afford it. Well, I'm in grad school, so I definitely couldn't afford it. But my sister was like, Emma, you need to go. Like, yeah, and I was like, okay. No, like, go talk to Marty. Like, and so I talked with her, and we prayed about it. And I had a lot of, like, for some reason, I really feel like I need to go. It sounds corny, but, like, I was just really feeling like I needed to go. And I didn't know anything about the details of the trip. But I was like, oh, for some reason, I really feel like I should go. Like, you know, Marty, like, tell me about it. Like, and so I felt like a lot of prayer and, okay, I'm going to go, but then I didn't have any money. It's like, yeah, I had money, but I had to pay for tuition, and so I go up to Marty and say, like, you know, I can either, go on this trip, but I don't know how I'm going to fund this. And so what was amazing to everybody here is that you really supported me, and it meant so much, and I just really was able to go because of my Grace Church body, which was amazing. So, yeah, thank you.
For me, it felt like it was a tailor-made schedule. High school had just let out. I had to spend a week down in Florida doing some graduate classes myself, kind of following Emma's shoes here a little. And I had a 24-hour layover in New York City before flying to Senegal. And it just fit in perfectly to say, this is the trip, this is my opportunity, get in there and go. And that was really neat. I'd been wanting to go, as Emma had said, but finally the pieces fell into place, and it was my opportunity, and I thank you all for your prayer and support along the way.
Okay, and your wife is gone.
She has,
so
yes.
Before, so that you guys can compare notes at home, I'll bet, huh?
Very different. I know my wife has gone to church service with Pastor Allende, but to now I got to serve alongside him. Pastor Allende was there sitting in the chairs painting murals with us, and that was a really neat experience.
Okay, Marty, the first time, what have you gone, four times?
Five.
Okay, what is it that got you to go?
For me, there was like this idea, zing, one, and then zing. What's that, you know? And when they started talking about the missions, Wes came up to me and he said, I would like you to be a part of this team. And I'm like, how weird, that's what my zing was about, you know? And then when I got quiet and I went within, I thought to myself, you have resources that you can share. So let's go share the resources, the gifts that God's given you. And so that's what pulled me in. Yeah, so there was a push from God, and there was a pull by someone in the community to do God's work. So that push and that pull came together, and I've gone ever since.
Okay, I was curious how this has changed the three of you spiritually and how you think about the Great Commission in the Hudson Valley, anything that you learned there that...
Sure, as far as the Great Commission in the Hudson Valley, I was thinking about Alexis, the elder in the church of Pastor Allende, who was there serving alongside us. It's like, oh, that's nice. No, this is his missions field. He's here as well. This is his near that he's serving in this community. And to think, well, for me, it's my far, but to realize that I have brothers and sisters in Christ who are also living out the Great Commission, and to spend time with them was fantastic, but to know that I may have thought that this was a far, but this is a near for someone else, and they're serving too, and maybe there's a near that I should be serving more in here. Maybe there's a far that I can be in supporting more extensively as well. And so as far as the Hudson Valley goes, it's my near just as much as Dakar is Pastor is Alexis's near for himself. And so we all should be living out the Great Commission, not just on a mission trip, but daily.
Yeah, and I would say that for me, I kind of already knew this, but I didn't like fully know it like until this trip, that you know, I don't have to be this amazing speaker, I don't have to be this amazing knowledge bank of scripture to be used by God. And I think that what was amazing to me was that, you know, I felt so insignificant. I'm like, you want me to go? Like, there's Marty over here who's like amazing, and then there's David who's like all his skills. And but when I went, I really felt used by God. I felt like God needed me there. And well, he doesn't need me, but he used me. And I think what was really powerful to me is kind of not able to explain through words. It was more of a presence of God there that that was really nice to experience. But more importantly, it showed me that you can use the gifts that you have. I think, you know, God's given me a gift to play, which is a pretty fun gift. You know, just play with kids, and I think that being able to just, you know, you see kids having fun. I was having like double the fun, like playing with, you know, during the party and letting them, you know, tackle me and trying to, you know, I scored 2 goals against them. I'm just saying they were junior hires, but it's okay. but, oh, well, okay, so when they're painting, they come up and like they're learning our names. So I say, like, Emma, and then like, here's Marty. So they're like, Emma, Marty. And so Marty's like, wait a second. So now she's like, Marty. And so they keep coming up, and they're like, Emma, Marty, Emma, Marty. But it was just, you know, it was so amazing that no matter where you are, where I am, you know, it's like to use what your gifts are, meaning just living out with God, impacts others, and they can impact you too.
Amen.
You know, there's a song from, this is a very old play, Godspell. Do you remember that play? Yeah. So there's a song called Day by Day, and three things that are talked about in Day by Day is to see God more clearly, to love God more dearly, and to follow God more nearly. And I think every time I go on a mission, especially this particular mission, those are the things that I'm pondering or putting into my life as I think about what Jesus might be calling me to do. And for the part about the far, there's a possibility that we'll be able to work with the Hobsons in the Philippines. That's something that we might develop. And then as people come up to me for the here and the near, and they say, hey, Marty, how about doing blah, blah, blah? And I'll say, well, you know what? Why don't we look into that? And that's what we've done so far, and it's created some really good mission work here in the community, and that's how I see my call in the Hudson Valley, is to help people organize the work that they want to do and provide the scaffolding so whatever their mission is after we leave the parking lot, whatever your mission is, that we can come together and do that and have our church family help you out to fulfill that mission.
Great, you've done a great job at that. So we all know spiritual warfare is real, and anytime you plan anything like this, that the devil is prowling and he throws roadblocks up and makes things difficult. I'm curious if you had any spiritual warfare this time and how you dealt with it.
So I would say yes for myself. As I mentioned, I had to be down in Florida for the week immediately before this. And as you probably heard in the news, there were a couple airline delays and cancellations. And going down, my flight from White Plains to Atlanta to Florida became a 36-hour journey. Could have driven it in 36 hours. But thank you all for your prayers, because that began to make me wonder, am I going to make it back and be able to be in this? And to know that my family was praying.
I think for me too, when we got to Senegal, I didn't realize that my phone is so old that it just like could not find Wi-Fi at all. So like it just was not working like at all. And so I want to say something to David in particular, because we kind of named him the bodyguard because he kind of made sure that we all were okay. And the first night, I looked down and I'm like, I have no signal whatsoever. So like we're in our room and I'm like, you know, they have no idea. Like, you know, so he's knocking the door and I thought I heard something. But then, you know, I was like, oh, it's probably nothing. And then he knocks louder. And so he's like, you know, her lights are on, but I think she's okay. And so I open the door and he's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, my phone. And so that was something that I struggled with the whole time, because I couldn't get in touch with, you know, Bill and Kathy, and they could discuss about things, and which was discouraging. But thanks to, you know, just, you know, God's great, and Bill had his phone that has a hotspot. So basically kind of gave us his phone in the nights, and we were able to communicate then. So just these little things that try to poke, but God's greater.
Yeah, I have some big ones. Part of the some of the difficulties were that there was political unrest. I don't know if you knew about that, but there was political unrest in Senegal. First time it's happened to this extreme. 7 people were killed in the protesting. And that was a week and a half before we were supposed to leave. And the president was going to speak again after Tabaski, And Tabaski, his speaking after Tabaski was going to occur while we were there. That was a huge leap of faith. We had supplies for 250 people to eat all beef hot dogs and hot dog buns and ketchup and mustard and napkins and all the stuff for the painting. And there are only three of us going. So when you go on a, you get two suitcases, one for you, because we're going to be there for 7 days. We have to take twice as much clothing because it's so hot there during this time period. So we have a suitcase for us and a suitcase for the mission. Well, we realized, gosh, we need more suitcase room because we have so many supplies that we're taking over. And when I called up the airlines, they said, oh, we've actually changed our allowances. It's not $100 for an extra suitcase. It's $400 for every extra. And we needed three extra suitcases. Or we could pay $20, you know, my mind, we'll just take a 100-pound suitcase and pay the overage charge. No, you can only take a 70-pound suitcase, which is adding 20 more to the pounds we already have. And that's $200 per suitcase each way. So $2,400 for all the extra supplies. That was the warfare. But each one of us on our own came up with a way that we could put double the amount of clothes into our carry-ons, and we each donated the second suitcase. Yeah. Remember when we did Walk for Water a long time ago and we had those bright orange shirts? And then we did the VBS and we had those bright orange shirts in Senegal? Well, we left those shirts in Senegal to give away to the poor. Kathy never gave them away to the poor. So I contacted her and said, hey, can we use those shirts when we come? Because we don't have any suitcase space. She said, yep, I'm going to freshen them all up for you. There's all, you know, God is large and in charge. You know, for me, this is why I think God is large and in charge, so I can be small and have it all. You know, and yeah. Or here's the third one that happened. Just before we were getting ready to leave and I was checking in with the government and on my airlines, a huge black box showed up on my computer. All of my passwords were gone. I couldn't access anything. Anything. Yeah, and I'm leaving and I'm thinking, I've been hacked. And so I just said, instead of saying, oh my God, this is such a big problem, what are you going to do? It's like I've learned from you guys. And I said, you know what problem? You have no idea how big my God is. Called the geeks. We were on the phone until 2 o'clock in the morning. But you know what? We got it done. So many, many things came up. In fact, Wes had a prayer meeting for us because so many things were coming up. And many of you came to that prayer meeting. It doesn't matter what walls we hit. You know, God always gave us the opportunity to go over or around. Yeah. Yeah. And those are great stories about as God calls you to take the Great Commission into your home and into your community, when those barriers come up, know that you've heard people's experience, strength, and hope about how God has allowed us to get to the other side, and that's there for you too, if we just call on it. Yeah.
Amen. I was wondering, did any of you get to share Christ personally with anybody during the trip? I see you shaking your head, Naima. Go ahead.
Well, I think Marty had more of an opportunity because she mentioned before talking with, his name is Alexis, and he was a teacher there, about him sharing his testimony, so they kind of have a beautiful conversation. I was just kind of jumping in on, you know, I never officially, like, talked with words, you know, like, Jesus saves you, and blah, blah, blah. But when I was playing with the kids, you know, they started off as, like, 3, and then 4, and 5, then 10, then 20, then 100, then 200. I came to the party, and there was kids from all around, you know, the neighborhood coming and their parents, and then there'd be these older kids coming, and so they all apparently I found us after, were asking, like, you know, what is this building? Like, what is this? Like, and so we had a chance to say, you know, oh, this is Good Seeds Christian School, like, Christian school. And, you know, Pastor Allen Day, you know, is the pastor. And then the one kid was like, you know, can I keep the soccer ball kind of thing? And I pointed, no, it belongs to Good Seeds School. You know, you can play with it. And so it was a lot of redirecting back to the core, you know, which was God. And I kind of already said this before, but saying how, you know, just also showing how far the soccer ball went, you know, just how it really, just the whole area just really learned about God through this, you know, because of us, Grace Church, you know, and because of God using us as Grace Church. And I think that what was really amazing to see was that just the slow growth of the people that came and how that growth spread out with knowing and learning about, oh, these are how Christians act, you know, and Christians aren't snobby and don't, you know, there's a different, they're from a different culture, so they don't want to have anything to do with us, but more of like, no, they're playing with us, they're eating with us, they're working alongside us, and you know, not every American, you know, in American culture, you know, that they see is Christian, you know, and that was the big thing that we were going against.
I think the last day as we were wrapping up, we got the greatest confirmation that this was, that we had shared Christ, and that was Pastor Hallenday came up and said, we have had so much more interest in the school thanks to the block party and the change that you've made to this environment. We anticipate a much bigger enrollment this coming year, and that's fantastic for us, because that to me says that what we were doing was something that people want. They want to know what's going on in this school, what's unique, what's special. And to think that we were able to love on the school, to love on the kids, to love on the pastor and the elders of that church so much that the neighborhood wants to know more. And I thought that, to me, was a great confirmation that, yes, we were shining Christ's light on that neighborhood.
Marty? So on our prayer card, the very top of our prayer card, it said, please pray that our work and actions will plant seeds of God's goodness in the people of Karamasar neighborhood so that there will be fruit for generations to come. And Pastor Allen Day talked about those seeds that were planted and how generations are going to remember what took place.
Okay. I was curious whether you guys all thought this was what you envisioned. Emma, you said it was even better. But was it everything you thought it was going to be?
You see videos of, you know, people playing with kids in Africa, and it's fun. It's like, oh, this will be cool. I went over there, and everything is flat. There's, like, no, like, grass and trees. Well, there's, like, a little bit. But what was amazing was being in the, like, you can say, oh, Senegal culture, but then when you get there, it's Senegal culture. Like, there's, like, cows with big horns just walking the road. We have to, like, stop a few times. The cow just taking its time going across the road. And Bill and Kathy said that they literally received directions where it's like, okay, when you get to this street, turn left at the cow, and sure enough, there's a cow there.
In the road.
In the road,
beside
right.
The road in a pen, in the road.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's, you know, goats walking around, and there's, like, there's cars right next to horse and, like, carts. You know, there's these kids that are standing on the cart using their, like, riding, you know, using their reins with a horse, and they're carrying, like, computer parts, and, like, or people get a ride. And then you see these women with these beautiful dresses, and they have this, like, big, tall, you know, wraps on their heads carrying things with their little, you know, little ones strapped to their back, and so it's like there's no words to describe, you know, what when you go over there, you're like, oh, this is the culture, this is where we are. And it was just an amazing experience to see that.
I think I tried to have no preconceptions of what to expect. But I think what surprised me the most was the number of ways that I saw God's hand in preparing the team and in putting the right people in place with the right things. All the supplies that you sent were amazingly well received and were exactly what we needed, whether it was the paint supplies, whether it was the games. All of those were amazing. And to see the different skills, even within our own team, we had been praying long and hard for who should be on this team, and God knew exactly who and used each one of those skills, and that blew me away. So in that sense, no, I wasn't surprised by what I saw there. I was so impressed by how God had it all planned out and had the right things in place.
And kind of jumping in, you saw in the video when Marty's waving like this because it's bumpy, and those three girls in the back are missionary interns that were there at the exact same time. And they had such a love for God and were just so full of energy. And so they were there when we were there. And they helped with the party. They helped with playing with the kids, with doing the directions. And I kind of got to be a dictator a little bit and order everyone around during when you were sitting for the party. And these guys were there blowing up the balloons, and they were doing the streamers, and just really were amazing and helping. And so that's kind of another God setting, is that, you know, oh, like here's three other, you know, energy-full people that are here to help.
I knew physically what it was that we were going to do and the aspects of our missions. What I didn't realize was how intimate our sharing would be with each other. We had four languages, Jolof, Wolof, French, and English, and we were able to talk about our walk with Christ. We were able to talk about where God is calling us next. We were able to talk about how evolution that had taken part in our lives. We were able to talk about love languages. You know, we studied the love languages here at our church. We were able to talk about love languages, and it was just a very intimate experience. I didn't expect that, but I feel really blessed by it. And it's always interesting to see that nothing is lost in God's economy. Nothing. You know, everything is used. Us, time, talent, treasure, touch. Nothing is lost in God's economy.
And those hot dogs that we brought over, we had leftovers. And so we packaged up things that were leftovers, and we gave them to the moms that are there. And they were so grateful. Like, oh, this will be our dinner tonight. Thank you so much. You know, and you know, the marshmallows that we brought over, you know, they were like, oh. And so, like, you know, passed those out, too. It was very beautiful to see that.
Are you guys eager to go again?
Yes.
Yes. Does that even need to be a question? Absolutely, yes. Whether it's again to afar or whether it's a near or here, yes, absolutely, to continue to live out the Great Commission and to look for those doors that God opens up for me to be a part of that.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because on June 10th, the week of June 10th, 2024, that will be our next mission group that we send to Dakar, and they're going to be doing an English camp. So we'll be responsible for putting on the English camp with the group that is in Dakar.
Yeah. If you can speak English.
Yeah, that's all. Okay. That's all you need to. All you need to do is be able to speak English. Yeah.
Okay. So at the end of interviews, I typically ask, is there anything I didn't ask you that you want this congregation to know about this?
I think I would jump in and say that any age can go. So whether you're like a teenager or you're, you know, 70, you know, if you feel a call to go, like, you can be used. And I never really thought of myself going because, you know, like, so much younger than anyone who's gone. And, you know, it's like, oh, the whys and the experience and sending, you know, God's love out, you know, should go. But you really, like, God can use anybody, and it doesn't matter if you're, you know, 18, you can go and really have a gift to share.
I think we mentioned the roadblocks. If you feel that there are roadblocks to you participating, know that you have the entire church family that wants to support you. For myself, it was a church family member who came over and babysat for most of the week that I was gone. Our church family wants you to go, so please don't let there be reasons that keep you. Get involved. Take that opportunity. If God starts speaking to your heart, don't miss the opportunity. He's got it all worked out. You just need to take the next step and say, yes, that's me.
We have a thank you gift. So when you exit the church today, we'll be handing out a treat. It's like a roll of cookies, different kinds of cookies. And we would encourage you to take a roll. And this week or today, as long as however long you make the cookies last, but yeah, but we would ask that that when you go to eat the cookie, that you might take a moment and pause and say a prayer for the work that is being done by our Grace family and the work that is being done by our Senegalese family and the children in the Senegalese neighborhood. So if you could just pause while you're eating that cookie and take a moment for prayer, that would be wonderful, because it is clear to us as missionaries that each powerful movement begins with powerful prayer.
Oh, wonderful. I was wondering, Marty, if you could close the thing today by talking about what's ahead for us taking Grace beyond the walls, both, you just mentioned that we're going again next year to Dakar. What about locally?
So we're going to Dakar next year, closer to home. We have all the projects that we have at our church. We've got MOPS, we've got the, we have the pantry, we have Bible study. Men at our church are now discipling the fathers from the pregnancy center. Those connections have been made. In October, which is pro-life month, there's going to be a baby bottle campaign where the baby bottles and the men's group are going to be passing out the empty baby bottles. We take them home, fill them with change, and then bring them back. Another thing that we're going to do is Ted Suttmeyer is in charge of Walk for Water, and we're going to have a Walk for Water to help people in other communities. We're going to walk for water so they don't have to. So we walk for water, we give our funding to the program, which is in the Carolinas, and they do good works around the world. And we're also going to have a time where in September, both of those activities are in September, where we're going to be helping out with registration as well as creating decorative centerpieces. We're not purchasing all of that. We're providing the help for the Bravo Center annual fundraiser banquet. And anything else that you might bring to me that you are interested or you feel God calling you to provide to provide love or service in our area. If you have a thought, but you just don't know what to do next, come see me, and we'll sit down and we'll see. You know, four women went to the Bravo Center. Why do we have all these activities for the Bravo Center? Because four women did a tour of the Bravo Center after Bob did his talk on in January. In January for Family Sunday, four women went, and each one of those women took on a project. And now we have four projects that have taken place at that center. So it just has to start with an idea or an intention. And if you bring that to us, that's enough. We'll make it work.
Okay, well, thank you guys very, very much for sharing all this with us. And Marty, when we talk about, like I said last week, when we talk about taking Grace beyond the walls here, it's not just lip service with us. We actually mean it. And so I'd like to pray for you guys. I feel led to pray for you guys this morning. And why don't we do that? Lord, we thank you for these three and giving of their time and their talent, their treasure, going to Senegal to travel around the world to take your word to a pretty lost area of the world, Lord. We just pray now in the coming days that you would even deepen their faith even more as they dwell and they think and they reflect on that trip and the things that went on there and how they saw God at work. And Lord, we pray for the people there in Senegal and continue to build bridges over there. Lord, we just pray for them. We know that being Christians in a Muslim dominant world can be a very, very difficult thing. We just, the school that they worked at, Lord, we just pray for a hedge of protection around that school, Lord. And we just, again, we thank you and we praise your name this morning. And we pray for these three individuals. And we pray for other people who are in the congregation who may be feeling a nudge this morning that the Holy Spirit is working on them and saying, you know, I'd really like you to go. Whether it's a local project or whether it's an overseas project, whatever it is, Lord, we just pray now that the folks would be open and open hearts and open minds to that message and to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen.